Thank you to everyone who sent in some questions. Keep sending them in, and we'll try to get as many answered as we can.
If you're not good, maybe no, don't put the chair. I mean, I
can't. It's a nice Roman Catholic conference when we have these nice papal chairs here up front that we can answer these questions from. So, yeah, I think Pastor Kuhn was saying maybe the Lutherans, maybe they're Reformed, or maybe they're not actually Reformed. Who knows? Deformed, yeah.
Deformed.
All right. Well, maybe just a pressing question that some people might have, a common one. Can there be true saved Christians to come out of the Roman Catholic Church that continue to worship in the Roman Catholic Church?
Yes, we're not saved by our belonging to a particular group. We're saved by God in Christ alone, by faith alone. And if God knows his own, and if someone trusts the Lord Jesus for her or his salvation, and for whatever reason she or he happens to identify himself or herself as a Catholic, the Lord is at work in people's hearts. The problem is how they must be in one way or another inconsistent Catholics, whether they know it or not. There are some holes in their understanding of Catholicism. If one is 100% consistent with Catholic teaching and practice, I'm not God, but from the Gospel we know that the teaching is different from the Gospel. So if one is 100% coherent with Catholic teaching, he or she is not following the Gospel. But if she or he is incoherently Catholic, inconsistently Catholic, and trusts the Lord Jesus, God knows his own. And the problem is what to do, how to advise them. And would you advise someone to go and eat into a restaurant you know that the kitchen is poisoned? For some time you can handle some little poison in your body. You can survive, but long term, the more poison you eat and drink, the more you put at risk your life. So the issue for them is how long would they be able to survive and stay healthy in the Catholic Church.
I always go back to something John MacArthur said. He said, if someone is a true believer in the Roman Catholic Church, it's very likely they're a bad Catholic and not a good one. Mm-hmm. And it seems to hold true, and that's basically what
was saying.
Maybe just a few points of clarification from some of the talks. Clinton mentioned kind of this sacramental charismaticism. Do you want to maybe elaborate on that, and also the idea of a kind of postmodern Roman Catholicism? What is meant by that? Both of you can chime in. But
yeah, the sacramental charismaticism is then this combination of the charismatic movement, which actually Leonardo just mentioned in his talk. You have that stress. So with all of the spectacular sign gifts and emphasis that way. But that's combined with then seeing that through liturgy and through specific things, in particular Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, seeing then that they that there's actually power, even almost charismatic power, through those rituals. So it's then highlighting ritual and seeing that it's extremely experiential. The experience of the Eucharist is actually then receiving the host and it, you know, going down your throat. That's then this sacramental experience that ties together with the charismatic movement as well. And so you wouldn't think they go together, but actually they go together quite well. And so that's what I was trying to get at. I don't know if you want to comment on sacramental stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I comment on the postmodern aspect.
Sure.
4 years ago, the Pope visited a parish in the outskirts of Rome. I mean, this Pope, Pope Francis. And while he was talking to the audience, open air, a boy went to him and wanting to talk to him. And he embraced him and they talked. And after that, the Pope said to the people, you know, this boy has just told me that his dad died last week. And he told me that his dad was an atheist. And this boy asked me the question, is my dad with God now? What would you say in response? Do you think that God would reject a good man like his father? And the audience responded, no. And the Pope replied by saying, you're right. He was a good man. He was atheist, but he was a good man. God will never reject a good man. Little boy, dear boy, your dad is with the Lord. Pray to your dad and pray for your dad. This is the Pope. Is it postmodernism? Is it relativism? Is it universalism? It is Roman Catholicism.
Helpful. That's exactly it. Going at the point that Protestants aren't Roman, if truth is based on an individual church's interpretation of Scripture, how can any Christian know the infallible truth God is trying to communicate?
How do we know? Well, we have the Scriptures. We have the Holy Scriptures, and the Scriptures are given to us in such a way that we can actually know them. And this is the marvel. So one of the things that when you think, for example, in the Gospels, we have not merely one perspective on the life of the, and work of the Lord Jesus. We have four perspectives talking about the same things. And so from that, it gives us then a multidimensional picture of who Christ is and what he accomplished. And then the testimony of the apostles is written in such a way, it's written to regular people. And so then it is understandable for us. So that by then seeing the Scriptures, and then the trust is that when you are looking to the true Christ, even the unseen Christ, the risen and ascended Christ, when you're looking to him with in faith, you're trusting that the Holy Spirit is actually giving you illumination so that the Word and the Spirit are actually leading you into the truth. And so this is the marvel of the access that the Christian believer has to God through the Scriptures, because they have the Spirit and have the Word, and that there it does not be, need to be mediated institutionally. And it's the marvel. It is the priesthood of all believers and the access to the Bible that we have. So I'm not sure if that answers that question, but I think that the sufficiency of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit to give us illumination, that means that we're not dependent on a counselor, so on and so forth, that they must offer that definitive interpretation.
Yeah. Oftentimes, a Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholic people, they do say to us Protestants, oh, look, you are divided into multiple churches. We are one church, the only church. And yeah, from the institutional point of view, that's true. But none of our churches claim to be the only institution called the church. We consider ourselves as part of the universal church, and we consider ourselves as belonging to the body of Christ. And actually, the Protestant movement, with all its faults and weaknesses, is a testimony of the fact that without an institutional center, without a authority human structure, it has maintained and fostered unity in the gospel across the denominations. For us, unity doesn't mean that we need a pope to be united. We need one single entity, legal, ecclesiastical entity to be united. For us, unity means to be one in Christ and across denominations. And that's a powerful testimony. I think that the argument turns against the Roman Catholic argument. We are more united without an institutional authority than most Catholics are within the institutional church. So the institution is not the answer to the question. It is the Word of God, illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the context of a church that is united in the gospel. And that is not only true theologically, it also proven historically.
So this person sent in a question. To me, the Mass reflects the same worship and reverence found in the Old Testament with scriptural backing. Why is Protestant worship actually proper then?
When you look at the Old Testament and its development, there is the anticipation as you go along in the Old Testament that by the prophet Jeremiah's day, he was prophesying about a new covenant. In Jeremiah 31:31, that there would be a new covenant that would not be like the old covenant, and the new covenant would not be based on externals, but it would actually be a covenant whereby God writes the law on the heart. And so the result is all of these things that seem to resemble this old covenant or Old Testament worship, they then are consigned to being merely shadows. They are shadows of which the substance is Christ. And the book of Hebrews is a great illustration. You just go through the book of Hebrews and realize that all of these Old Testament structures, they are shadows that are merely pointers to the fulfillment of Christ in his person and his work in his once for all sacrifice. And so as a result, if you have access to Christ, you don't need then to go back in time, go back from the substance to the shadows, go back from the marvel of the new covenant to the old covenant. And I think the question, it actually is, it does reveal that there is a sense in which a lot of people are going back to an old covenant style of worship rather than a new covenant type of worship, which is in Christ. So that's where I'd have that emphasis.
Yeah, very true. And actually, Roman Catholicism, in a sense, rebuilt the temple that Jesus had come to fulfill in his life, death, and resurrection. In John 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that there is no place where we are called to worship God no specific place, no sacred space. The worship of God is for all places. And yet, the Catholic Church reconstituted sacred spaces needing a priestly class, needing ongoing sacrifices. And so instead of following the way of the Lord, they went backwards and rebuilt what the Lord had come to fulfill. The Mass is a sacrifice without blood, but the sacrifice of the cross is represented. And only those who are part of the priestly class can administer that sacrament. And in sacred spaces, characterized by specific places where martyrs or saints, their relics are located beneath the altar. So it is the reconstitution of the old instead of the enjoyment of the fulfillment.
It's helpful. We'll just maybe do one last question before we close in a song. How would you give counsel then to many here when talking with a Roman Catholic? What are ways you would encourage to point them? What are conversations to have, or maybe things that will just detract from the main point? So when evangelizing Roman Catholics, what is your counsel to many here?
Well, the first thing I'll say is you need to come tomorrow to Leonardo's talk.
Final one.
That's the easy answer. but I think getting back to the simple gospel question is, how do you know that you are right with God? How do you know? What's the basis of that? Is it by religious ritual? Is it by some your repetition of various attendance at the Eucharist? Is it by having a baptism ritual? What is it? What's the basis? Well, if you're not clear in seeing that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, that Christ is the inaugurator of the new covenant, that his blood was shed to atone for your sins, and you actually need that atonement for sins because you're a sinner under God's judgment, but that's not it. That's not the whole thing. You also, how are you ever going to do enough and be righteous enough and obedient enough to be acceptable to God? Even if you had your sins atoned for, how could you then do enough to be accepted by God? Well, you can't. But Christ was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so there's a positive righteousness that is credited to you, as well as your sins being covered by his blood. And you need both. And this is the problem when you don't actually understand what I'll call the infrastructure of the gospel. Then you will look for infrastructure in other things to try to solve that problem of how can you be right with God. And so I would just argue that you need to go deeper into the gospel, not deeper into any other religion, ritual, or other structure.
Yeah, I agree. I would briefly add this comment. Try the best you can, the most you can, to engage your friend with Scripture. Scriptural engagement, Bible engagement. It's not my religion versus yours. It's not me against you. That's pointless. It's us under the authority of God's Word. And so the quicker we get to the Bible, the better.
It's the truth. No need to be ashamed of the truth. Just a few announcements, then we'll close in song. lots of questions coming in, even some here that obviously might disagree with some of these views. Again, the encouragement for all of us here, even you, would be check out the Reformanda Initiative podcast website. They'll have a ton of resources that'll answer a lot of these questions. So Reformanda Initiative, it's in the bulletin there. Check it out. They have a podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, everywhere. Check it out. Good stuff. Tomorrow, doors open at 8 a.m. The conference starts at 9 sharp. We're starting 9 sharp, so either get here or join in late. But the doors will open at 8. There'll be coffee and refreshments available, as well as Reformed Book Services will be open at 8. So if you're looking to get some books, you can check that out. So doors open at 8. Conference starts at 9 sharp. Why don't we all stand, and DJ will lead us in worship.
Hear these words of benediction from 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May you be blessed by that truth and by all of this. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. God bless you all. Go in peace. You're dismissed.